Thank you, Brother Chris. Thank you, Ms. Lisa. Thank you for coming today. If you have your Bibles with me, turn to the book of James. James chapter 2. Today, as we look at religion a little bit, religion that you and I should lose. James chapter 2. In our text we'll see today, I have a question I want you to think about. I would imagine that you have at some point in your life been so frustrated that you said, I'm about to lose my religion. Y'all ever said that? Hopefully you haven't said it this week, but you probably said it at some point in your life because you were just beside yourself. You were mad, you were angry, you were frustrated. Somebody had done something, or maybe you had done something, you were mad at yourself. It happens. We're guilty of it. And we know that God uses those times sometimes to settle us down, to wake us up, to humble ourselves, to get our attention. And I want you to know today that there is at least one, there's probably others, kinds of religion. There's at least one kind that you and I should lose, should get rid of. And James, the book of James here, speaks of that type religion. It's called dead faith is what James calls it. He calls it dead faith. And James, a pastor of First Baptist Church of Jerusalem, you could say. He's a pastor of a church in Jerusalem. And he's addressing an issue about faith, and he speaks of dead faith here through his congregation, and God uses that to speak to us in the same vein. Many congregations profess to be saved. We know that many in our church, in our world, they sing, oh, how I love Jesus, but that's as far as it goes. Their lives do not reflect that they love the Lord. And so James is addressing this matter, and that's what I want to address today. I want to talk about dead faith. So if you will, I'm going to ask you to stand as we read a few verses out of James chapter 2, beginning in verse 14. James says, or God says through the book of James, what does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? Verse 15, if a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, it does not have works, is dead. If it does not have works, it's dead. Skip down to verse 26, if you will. He says, for the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Father, bless your word. In Christ's holy name, amen. Please be seated. I want to share with you a few truths this morning about that. Now, I'm not talking about atheism, which you and I know is, if you were to believe that, it's that everything came from nothing. It is, you know, it takes blind faith, which is obviously, it's a dead-end road. It leads to hell because it's not believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Catholicism, I'm not talking about that. I don't believe much of their stuff is biblical as well. Obviously, just, you know, it's real orthodox, it's real repetitive, it's different. Martin Luther broke out of that, the Protestant Reformation, which we just had a celebration of, a Resurrection Day, the same day as Halloween, October 31st. Martin Luther, as you and I know, the Great Reformation, came from Catholicism. I'm not talking about Islam, how the false teachings of Muhammad, they say Allah is God, which they're saying he is the Holy One. He is Jehovah. And you and I know that is absolutely from the devil. It's wrong. It's a lie from the pit of hell. Only Jehovah is God. Only the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The God of the Bible. That's not who Islam is. There are definitely, they're opposite, on polar opposites what we believe. I'm not talking about these young guys that dress up real nice and come and knock on your door or hand you out a little Book of Mormon. No, I'm not talking about that. Those are false teachers as well. And so, no, we're not speaking about that today. Sure, we should stay away from those. We should lose that because it's not biblical. And I'm not even talking about those people that are very, very nice. They would come sit with you. They will even come sit with you in the hospital for days and days. They're very nice people. But they preach a different Jesus than we teach, than the Bible teaches. They don't teach and preach the Bible as Jesus is divine. He's holy. He's righteous. He is the Son of God. He's equal to God. No, they're very false. And so be careful, guys. I'm not talking about those today. I'm actually talking about people that have either grown up around God's Word or a little bit more little familiar with it. Maybe they were children of parents that were faithful. Maybe their grandparents were faithful. Somebody was faithful probably, and they picked up a little bit. And so they know the lingo, they know the songs, the hymns, the gospel tunes, they know the words to say, they know a few Bible verses maybe, maybe half of the verse. But they exhibit dead faith. That's a person that I feel like James is addressing in his church, and that's who I felt like God wants us to address. So let me give you a few truths this morning. One, concerning dead faith, it has no conquest, which means it has no victory. There's really nothing to it. It's no value. Look at what he says in verse 14. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? Obviously, he's answering the question. We already know the answer. Without works is dead. So, if someone doesn't have works, it doesn't save him, but it does show us. It reveals. Dead faith attempts to inherit salvation. And the Bible tells us that God can look down from heaven. He sees our hearts. He sees all of our hearts. He knows every man or woman, whether they have real faith, they have living faith. He knows which people have placed their faith in him and which of those who are just giving lip service, those who do not. That's why in Matthew chapter 5, God gave us the Beatitudes. Verses 1 through 11 are the Beatitudes, and the Beatitudes are not something that we should do. It's something that we should be. We should be humble. Blessed are the poor in spirit. You know, blessed are those who are persecuted for his name's sake. It goes to our being, who we should be. It's not just a function, it is a being. And so the same principle follows our faith. We should be doers, obviously, instead of just talkers or hearers. James is speaking about what a man can see here. It's a life of victory. Somebody that has real faith has a life of victory. It's an unsafe, selfish life. Perhaps maybe Billy Graham was accurate when he said perhaps 75% of the church, not necessarily one body, but as a whole, the people that call themselves a church don't really know the Lord. Perhaps that could be possible, very possible. But I want you to know death faith is a negative faith. It never appreciates God. It never is thankful as it should be. And we know life is not about circumstances. Life is about conquering or overcoming those circumstances. Now, do we struggle? We all do, yes. We have bad days and maybe even bad weeks, but But hopefully God gets our attention in some way and we say, God, forgive me for acting like I acted this week or being the person that I was last week. Lord, help me this week to live a life of victory, even though I'm still going to be struggling with my health or struggling financially or struggling relationally. Lord, help me to live a life that gives you purpose and meaning, and it displays that to others. Other people see that as well. And so it's not a life of negativity. That's dead faith. I believe maybe some people, instead of singing victory in Jesus, they would rather sing misery in Jesus, perhaps, because that's the way they portray. They have no conquest. Dead faith, secondly, has no compassion. And that's what James is speaking of as well here in verse 15. Look at what it says. If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say to them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it have not works, is dead, being alone. Yet a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. So dead faith is a words-only faith, is really what it is. It's not in deeds, it's words only. A person may use a lot of words to show that they're compassionate, but a dead faith person doesn't act upon those words. They don't carry them out. And we're all to a certain degree, if we're honest, none of us are completely compassionate, completely faithful in every way. No, that's not what I'm saying. Because only Jesus fulfills that role. But a dead faith person is not compassionate as they should. James gives us an example of a homeless person here. And you and I know we see people from time to time when we stop at an intersection. Y'all ever see people on the side of the road with a sign saying, we'll work for food, or please help, or whatever they may have on a piece of cardboard? And perhaps some of them will work. Perhaps some of them will. But I would say, for the most part, if you ask them to come rake your yard or come trim your hedges or come do something, they would probably not want to do it. They'd want you to move on so someone else would hand them a handout, perhaps. And do I help them? Yes. But I usually give them a gospel tract if I do. If I give them a couple of dollars or whatever, I try to put something religious, something that they can, God can use in their hand as well. But I would say James is saying, he's not talking about the ones that we're not sure of, but there's people that we know, maybe within our own family, and we know they need help, and we just overlook those, or we bypass those. We know they're in desperate need, and we can help them, we just don't. James is saying that we're practicing dead faith. So we do have to be careful. There is a fine line, I realize, between helping somebody and enabling someone. But I would say, if you would lean on the help side, lean on the compassionate side, we'll just let God fill in the details. Because I guarantee you there are people to come here on Wednesdays and other days that do take advantage of the system. But I thank the Lord that we have compassionate people that just says, look, we're going to let God take care of the details. We don't know. We're gonna leave that up to God. We're going to do what God's called us to do. And so I thank the Lord for you. But salvation, we know, is not work. Is not just words. It's backed up by action. We know, we prove that we're saved. We show that we're saved. We can tell someone all day long that we love the Lord. And that we love believers. We love fellow Christians. But until that love is shown, until it's put in action, it's not really compassion. Jesus said that when you have done it to the least of these, you've done it to Him. When you've given a little cup of water, you've done it in His name. You've done it to Him. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, I don't know if you can see that. It says, let your light shine before all men or women, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Let your light shine. The little beautiful little song that we sang in Bible school. What a tremendous example it still is for you and I. Let me give you a third simple little truth today about dead faith. It has no communion, no fellowship, really no relationship or any of that. Real faith leads to salvation. Dead faith leads to damnation, really. If we want to be honest, James, here in verse 19, look what it says. Thou believest that there is one God, James 2:19. Thou doest well. The devil also believes and trembles. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead. Now, James is using very strong words here to speak about dead faith. He's saying that those who have dead faith have the same kind of faith that Satan has, that the devil has. He's saying that the devil and dead faith people have the same kind of faith. What kind of faith does the devil have? Well, remember the story when Christ went into the country of Gadara and there was a demon-possessed man and Christ cast out those demons and those demons went into a herd of swine and they ran off into the sea. And I believe that story teaches us three things. And let me share those real quickly about Satan's the faith of Satan or the faith of a dead faith person. Here's what Satan knows or Satan believes. Satan knows that Jesus is the Son of God. He knows that. The Bible tells us that. It tells us that in Matthew chapter 8, verse 29, when that demon says, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, Son of God? That's what the demon says. You're the Son of God. What are you doing here? What do we have to do with you? Leave us alone, in other words. So the demons, they know that Jesus is the Son of God. What a tremendous truth that we should acknowledge. So even sometimes dead faith people believe what Satan believes, that Jesus is the Son of God. They know it. They know that He's the way, the truth, and the life. They know that there is no other name under heaven whereby men may be saved. Satan believes it too. The demons believe it as well. Atheists, did you know atheists have a hotline? You dial 0 and at the end of it, nobody answers. It's dead. It's nothing. And you know probably already they have a holiday. They've been trying to get a holiday for a long time, but they finally went to Washington and some of the real wise people at Washington say, you already have a holiday. It's in April. April 1. April Fool's Day. That's their holiday. Let me just give you the second little thing about what Satan believes and what he knows and what a dead faith person believes. And that Jesus is a holy one. In Mark, another account of the demon-possessed guy, Mark chapter 1, verse 24, the demons declared and said this, I know thee who you are, who thou are, the Holy One. This is a demon speaking now. Said, Jesus, I know who you are. You're the Holy One of God. So the demons believe Jesus is the Son of God. They believe He is holy. He's divine. Satan says, I know Jesus, who you are, but I will not accept you. I won't trust you. I don't want you to be my authority. You're holy and you're righteous and you're perfect. But I don't care, is what Satan says. And unfortunately, that's what dead faith people do as well. They may say it, But their life reflects someone who says, I don't care. I'm going to do it my way. Dead face says, leave me alone. I'll take care of this own life. Or I'll wait until I get another chance or wait until later in life to deal with reality. But unfortunately, sometimes they don't get a chance to wait. And the third thing that Satan knows, he knows Jesus is sovereign. He's Lord of all. He's King of kings. In James chapter 2, verse 19, God says, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well, the devils also believe and tremble. They believe and tremble, so they know that they tremble when Christ comes around. They believe, that, and they're shaken to the core because they know He is the Lord. They know no one else is like Him. He's holy, and He's God's Son. They know that. He's sovereign. Beautiful verse, 1 John 4:18 says this, perfect love drives out fear. I want you to know, dear friend, those people in our family that have dead faith, and we all have them, they're fearful. They're afraid, perhaps. Now, they could have false security that everything's okay, but I would say if when things really get bad in their life, they kind of get fearful. They're like the demons. They tremble. They don't know what they're going to do. They don't know how to respond. They don't know who to turn to. Even though they know these things that I just listed, just like Satan knows them, for whatever reason, because of they've been brainwashed by the world or whatever it is, they don't realize that only Jesus can cast out that fear. Perfect love of the Lord Jesus can cast away any of those anxieties and stress. Real faith. When a person has real faith, he doesn't live in fear. We have our moments, sure. And those who don't have real faith need to lose their religion. James chapter 2, verse 26 says this, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Dead faith, just to be honest, is like a corpse. A corpse doesn't move. One day I will be one. We all will be, perhaps. If Jesus doesn't come back, we won't move when we're gone. A corpse doesn't do anything. It's the same thing a person does when they have dead faith, spiritually. They may look like they're doing things, but spiritually, in God's eyes, it's all vanity. They're not doing anything. All those who are considered to be the giants of the Christian faith, they backed up their words with actions. Sure, they wasn't perfect, but they backed it up. Abraham, his actions proved that he believed in God. Rahab, her actions proved that she believed in God. Moses, Isaac, Jacob, all of those, even though they did some terrible things, King David, ultimately, their actions proved that they believed in God. So I encourage you, get the religion of dead faith out of our lives. Let's get it out of our lives. Because faith without works is dead. Father, let's pray. Father, we ask you today to stir us, Lord. And Lord, if there's some things that we're practicing, we're allowing ourselves to get so emotionally attached to this world. We're allowing ourselves to get so caught up in our business, in our frustrations of politics and anxieties of money and health and all of those things, Lord. Father, remind us today that since this world, as we sang earlier, is not our home, we shouldn't get too attached, Father. That we should have our hearts set on heaven one day. Lord, help us to enjoy today by living our faith out. Living a faith of real faith. A living faith. Lord, forgive us for falling back this past week. into moments where it looked like perhaps we had dead faith because we weren't trusting you. We weren't following the Beatitudes. We weren't being the man or woman Christ wants us to be. Father, if there's one, even one, that is under conviction today, that they've never trusted Jesus, Lord, they've never fully surrendered and repented and cried out to you for salvation, Lord, I pray that today will be that day. Father, may that person realize it's not a spiritual exercise to be baptized or to fill out a card or come down when their cousin comes down or whatever it is. Lord, it's divine conviction from you that we need to be saved. And Lord, it is repentance and faith that leads to salvation, trusting in the Lord Jesus, what he's done on the cross. So Father, if that's the case, Lord, if there is one, young or older, may they agree with you today. May they obey you today. And all the others, Lord, that are saved, may they agree that there are things in their life they need to repent of. All of us, Lord, as you bring them to our attention today, we trust you and we love you. In Christ's holy name, amen.